The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Listen to the good news proclaimed in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, and I start reading at verse 1.
Glory to Christ, our Saviour.
The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. So other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell in the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since it has no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell amongst the thorns is the man who hears the words, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choking it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise Christ, our Lord.
Let us pray. Lord, may your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path as we wrestle with this, your word, and apply it to our lives. And so may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the parable begins. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Sowing seeds was something Jesus' listeners knew a lot about. That's how they planted their crops. They take a handful of seed and simply throw it on the ground in the area that they were walking around. And if we look at that today, it seems like really bad planning, considering today's farming practices, with the high cost of seed and the time spent sowing it. It may not even seem profitable at all. Maybe we are so focused on profitability that we begin to lose sight of the bigger picture. The parable, and this parable that Jesus tells us once again, reminds us of God's faithfulness, of God's generosity in constantly giving, 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 and forgiving. So then, who is the sower? God? Jesus? Well, yes, to both of the above, and more, so much more. God always sowing God's life in ours. We are created in the image of God and according to God's likeness. This we read in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26. The kingdom of God is within you, St. Luke tells us in Luke 17, verse 21. And in today's epistle, St. Paul says, the Spirit of God dwells in us. A little later during this service, we will celebrate the Eucharist. We will hear Jesus' words which say, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, and drink this, all of you, This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. The prayers that we so often request for the divine sower is spread in some seed. Our prayers are thanksgiving. We recognize in God's seed that has been sown in our lives and the blossoming of those seeds as they grow with us and grow in us. And with all this being said, have you ever taken time to think about yourself as the sower? Have you ever had someone simply show up just at the right time and say and do exactly what it is that was needed? They were sowing seeds. They seeded your life because they were a sower. In the same way, you've probably had the experience of someone saying to you, "You remember that time that you did this or said that? How did you know exactly what it was that I needed right then?" You, however, may have absolutely no recollection. You can't even remember the event. You didn't plan it and you didn't intend it. You were just sowing the seeds of your life. And so it is not so much of what you said or what you did. It is rather who you are. You were a sower to that person. You see, our lives, all our lives, we are sowing seeds. And often we don't even know it. The seeds we sow reflect what is going on within us and who we are. Jesus sows seeds of love, peace, joy, forgiveness, mercy, compassion, beauty, wisdom, perseverance, courage, gentleness, wholeness, healing, reconciliation. And this list could go on and on and on. These are the seeds that Jesus sows with us, in us, seeds that we are to cultivate, that we are to develop, that we are to grow within ourselves. And then we are to take this growth and we are to sow these seeds in our relationships, in our communities, and in the world. So if we begin now to look at the four types of ground or soil that we see described in the parable today, they are expressive of our lives and the lives of other people who we interact with. No one is just one kind of ground. All four are aspects of who we are. They are our interior landscapes. There are times when we live on the path, when it feels like our lives are just nothing more than simply getting from point A to point B. And it takes all that we have to simply do that, to move from one place to another. There's no room, there's no time, there's no energy for anything else. Nothing seems to be growing or flowering. The seeds of opportunity are lost. They are ignored. They go unrecognized. They may even be dormant, or they are simply taken away. And I'm sure that all of us have experienced and know a little bit of what this is like. The time we find ourselves up there on the path. Other times we feel like it's pretty rocky. Life can be pretty rocky for us. Fear, anger, jealousy, or unforgiveness combined with the soil of our lives. Nothing new can take root. Nothing anybody says can actually come within us and begin to grow. Everything that is said and everything that we do seems to be hit by a rock. We cannot find depth and we cannot find meaning. We live in simply on the surface. We need to clear the way, and there is so much work that has to be done. What rocks are filling your life and blocking the soil that would be able to grow and to bring newness and forgiveness in your life? Sometimes the thorns of guilt or shame or regret choke the possibilities of new growth. We hang on to the things of the past and we have no possibility of moving forward. Our life is constricted and strangled by what has happened in the past. We are pricked by our own inconsistencies and contradictions. The soil is overrun with weeds. What weeds do we need to begin to weed from the gardens of our lives? There are those times when life is fertile. It is open. It is receptive. We are rich in nutrients. We're flowering, we're flourishing, and we can feel that we are being fruitful. The seeds produce a crop yielding in one case 100, in another 60, and in another 30. We need, though, in all of this, just to be careful, not to make judgment or to try to choose the ground in which we sow. Because it is always so much easier to choose that ground where we know we can see what will grow and that things will grow in fertile soil. That is, whether it is in our own lives that we begin to choose or the lives of other people. Jesus' description of the four types of soil is not to shame us or to condemn us. It is rather to show us the great possibilities that there are. All four types of soil and ground need attention, and they need care, whether it is plowing to new depths, clearing the land of rocks and boulders, weeding, watering, or fertilizing. We need to work the land of our lives. I don't know what land of your life needs attention at this time, but I'm sure that if you look deep within yourself, you will know what it is that needs to be cleared, to be watered, or to be fertilized. All four types of soil describe parts of ourselves. In the parable, we see the conditions of soil, and we look at them and we study them. But this does not stop the sower. The sower does not throw seed only on good soil. The seed is not withheld from thorny or the rocky ground. Even the walked upon path is seeded. This may make no sense for those who want to calculate and quantify life, for those who are seeking profitability from others and from their lives. This is not the way of the sower. The sower sows generously, sowing here, there, and everywhere, not worrying where the seed might land, or the quality or type of soil or ground on which it might fall. The sower sows not because of who or what the ground is, but because who the sower is. And so let us remind ourselves, because who the sower is. Where and with whom do you sow? In what ways have you withheld seed because you believe the ground or the soil is simply not worthy? Let us be reminded of one of the world's most famous sculptures, the David. It is now in Florence, in Italy, and it's one of the greatest attractions, standing 5.16 meters tall in the Academia Gallery. And I'm sure that there are a number of people who have had the privilege to be able to go and view it. This outstanding sculpture was created between 1501 and 1504 by the Renaissance genius Michelangelo. The enormous block of marble for the statue had been abandoned for 25 years in the courtyard of the Opera del Duomo. And why? Because the two artists who had originally been commissioned with the work thought the marble had way too many imperfections. Michelangelo, 26 at the time, was hired to complete the project. He worked on it for more than 2 years, creating a masterpiece that still leaves us in absolute amazement, more than 500 years after it was created. The sower does not worry about the soil or the harvest or what it may or may not produce. That the sower sows anywhere and everywhere, the sower simply sows. Yet, this is not what most of us have been taught. We want returns on our investment. We wait to see what will grow, in whom, and when, and where. We want to know what we have placed our time and our energy into, and is it going to produce something? We don't want to waste resources or spend our energy on what we perceive to be a hopeless cause. We don't want to work on or with a block of marble that we perceive to have way many imperfections. The sower sows not because of an expected harvest, but because of who the sower is. A farmer sent out to sow his seed. Now let us be sowers who go out and sow with reckless generosity the love, peace and justice, joy and forgiveness of God. Let us sow the seeds that have blossomed in each of us, not because we need or want anything in return, just because that is what the sower does. Amen.